may be seated. Today I'm preaching today on call to liberty, commission to love. That's what we've been done by the Word of God. Years ago when I was taking seventh grade life science, long, long time ago, there was a model in our science lab that looked like a twisted ladder. A twisted ladder, we know, is a model of DNA. It tells us everything about who we are. Determines your eye color, your hair color, whether you got hair, whether your hair calls out, and all these things. And it determines so many things about us. All of us have a specific DNA code. And we know if you watch much any of these crime stories or detective stories, DNA is used in many ways to determine. It's able to solve murder cases. It's able to solve different things. It's able to identify exactly who the blood or anything like that belongs to. Well, I believe churches have a very common DNA. That is the fact that we're bound together by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're based on the Word of God. The church is built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. But I believe also each individual congregation has some specifics to DNA based on where we might be demographically or where we might be in a lot of different areas of the ministry. DNA is the basic building blocks of who we are. The Bible teaches us that we're to love God and we're to serve others. It also teaches us that we should, as we love Him, it should be evident to the world that we've been changed by Him. We demonstrate our love for God by humbly submitting to His divine will and demonstrating His love to a lost world. I believe it's important to understand that love is just not words spoken, but it is life in action. It is demonstrated. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God, who demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, in Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, we read just a moment ago here in chapter 5 an admonishment that we would be serving others. We have been called to liberty. That means we've been called to freedom. We have been set free from the bondage of sin, but that call does not come without responsibility. As we have been set free, we have been set free to freely love and demonstrate the love of God. Serving others is a natural result when someone loves God and has been transformed by His mighty power. You say, man, before I got saved, I didn't care about nobody, didn't do this, didn't do anything to help anybody. I was all about me. But when I got saved, something happened. I started thinking about the needs of others. I started thinking about ways to serve others. What happened? Well, hell moved out and heaven moved in. Amen? That's exactly what happened. So in order to fully understand the teaching that I read just a moment ago in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, there's somewhat of a need to get a historical background to the writing of Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. Now, Galatia was a region of territory. It was in the area known in that day as Asia Minor, which is today modern-day Turkey. In this region, there were several churches in which Paul wrote this letter. It was written to that region. It's the only letter that Paul ever wrote that was addressed to more than one specific church in one specific location. It's been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty by many theologians. You see, the legalists of Paul's day were out to get him. What they did is they began to discredit and denounce Paul's teaching. They denounced the gospel of which he preached, and they had persuaded many who had been won to faith in Christ and Christianity to slip into Judaism. They claimed this, that the Jewish law was still binding upon Christians and that salvation must be attended to by the works of the law. But the purpose of this letter was to root out those errors of legalism. It was to win back the converts to allegiance in Christ and to realize that their works were not a way to be saved, but evidence that they had been saved. And it was also written to expound the doctrine of justification by faith as opposed to works, as the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. You see, this entire letter that Paul wrote to Galatia is a strong defense of justification by faith. I'm glad that I don't have to be justified by my works. I'm glad you don't either. I'm glad that justification by faith and faith alone is a doctrine of Scripture that we can lay our head down at night and sleep with peace. You see, this letter is of great value today, even to our modern society. It wasn't just for the first century. It was a letter for all centuries. I always say some books are for a time, but the Word of God is a book for all time. So we must constantly realize that we're being bombarded with the damaging effects of false teaching. There are many today who are trying to cancel out the necessity of trusting Christ in Him alone for eternal salvation. Many are trumpeting a gospel, if you will, or a teaching, if you will, or some sort of false doctrine that says there are many ways to heaven. You don't have to go through Jesus. He's not the only way. I shared with you last week how many are even trying to denounce the validity of the bedrock doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, saying it's not that important. It is absolutely important. No one can ever inherit the glories of heaven on human merit alone, and heaven can only be a reality for you due to the divine mercy of God. So how relevant is Paul's message to Galatia in Galatians 5? How relevant is that message to the 21st century church? Well, I read this week and I wrote it down because I thought it was a great defense. Here's what the scripture, what the theologian said. He said, wherever religion has lost its reality, wherever ritual is more regarded than right living, wherever subscription to a creed is substituted for submission to Christ, wherever loud claims of orthodoxy are accompanied by conduct devoid of charity, wherever deeds of self-righteousness are obscuring the glory of the cross, there this epistle should be made to sound out its clarion call to a new dependence upon justifying grace, to a faith that is shown by works, to a walk that is by the Spirit, to a life that is inspired by love. So is this letter relevant today? Absolutely. And what will we learn from it? Well, the message of Galatians is very relevant today. And Paul was teaching the church of Galatians the joy and the blessing of what it means to be a servant. And I want you to notice some statements that he made with me today in our text. And I want you to notice them with me because I believe it will help us as we look back and see how God has brought us safe thus far, and as we look forward to what is a very uncertain, unknown future, but as we look forward, we will do so with the blessing of serving others and living with the joy of Jesus Christ, remembering that we've been called to liberty, but we've been commissioned to love. Notice with me in verse 13, if you will, the very first part of that teaches us that freedom enables us to serve others. It's hard to serve somebody when you're in bondage, isn't it? It certainly is, but freedom does just that. You see, the churches in the region of Galatia were well informed of the strict standards of the law. They had no problem understanding the strictness of the law. They had also been exposed to a group of Judaizers, or legalists, if you will, who were opposed to the gospel that Paul was preaching. These legalists claimed that the Jewish law was binding upon all Christians and that salvation could only be obtained by fulfilling the works of the law. Well, Paul had founded some churches. He founded churches in southern Galatia. He found one in the city of Antioch, the city of Iconium, the city of Lystra, and Derbe. He did these along with his faithful companion Barnabas on his first missionary journey. You remember it was at Lystra where he preached the gospel. A young man named Timothy gave his life to Jesus Christ. Later, as he grew up, would be used to be like a son in the ministry to Paul and carry out the other missionary journeys. See, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of the law. John 8:32 says, he who the Son makes free is free indeed. So let's notice together what we understand about how freedom enables us to serve others. Notice with me, if you will, that rules alone lead to rebellion. The Judaizers were real good about telling them, oops, you messed up here. Oops, you messed up there. Oh, you're not going to make it. You're not doing all the works of the law. So what they were attempting to do was to keep people in bondage. Do you know there are people today who love to see others in bondage? Did you know that? They love to see us in bondage. I mean, the people who loan money love to see us in bondage to debt, don't they? Amen? Every time I see the president of my bank, you know what he'll ask me? Do you need to borrow any money today? No, I don't need to borrow any money. Oh, we need to make some loans. We got to generate some loans because that's how we carry on business. And there's nothing illegal or immoral or unethical about that. But I'm saying people like for us to be in bondage. You see it all the time. Well, these Judaizers were like that. They like to keep bondage and by bombarding them with rules and standards that are unattainable to sinful humans. There was no way that these people could keep the law. So what did they need? They needed a relationship. Years ago, I read a book called Light the Fire. And here's what this book said. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. My children were young then, and I determined even then, yep, we're going to have some rules. If you don't have rules at your house, you know what you're going to raise? A heathen. Amen? I thought that was my middle name till I was about 16. Come here, you little heathen. I really did. Come here to me, you little heathen. I didn't even know what a heathen was, but I knew I was whatever it was. But listen, if you only set down rules and you don't build a relationship, you're going to have rebellion. Now, that's not just raising children. That's in every relationship you have. If you're an employer and all you do is give the rules and you don't build a relationship with people, they'll eventually rebel against your rules. In your family, in your friendships, hey, in your church. Amen? It's very important. I once had a gentleman who loved to talk about the church rules. Had a gentleman, and this man years ago was responsible for leading worship. He's responsible for leading worship. Now, leading worship means that we want to lead people to the very throne room of grace, to the very foot of the mercy seat, to be able to hear from the Word of God. Amen? The guy walks up, first thing he does is we had a pulpit mic in those days, and he takes it up and he says, hey, church, I want y'all to look at this. I mean, I'm sitting on front pew, Keith. I don't even know what's fixing to happen. This is why I learned to find out what was going to happen, because I don't like to get that sideways stuff. And I'm not trying to dictate worship, and I'm not trying to formalize worship, but we've got a plan, and if God changes the plan, we'll go with God, but we're going to have a plan. We're going to do things decently in order. He takes this thing, starts waving this microphone. You see this? He said, y'all know what this is worth? Angie knows I'm telling the truth. You know what this is worth? And he starts bending it back and forth. He said, it ain't worth a dime. You know why? Because one of y'all let your little heathen kid come up here and climb on it, and they broke it. And it cost the church $400 this week to replace it. And I'm telling you, we ain't going to do that no more. If I see one of you getting them, he just went on and on. I'm melting into the pew. I mean, Scott, tell me. Now, look here. How are we going to get the church back in a mind of worship after that? But he was one of the guys. I mean, you couldn't talk. I talked to him. I said, hey, man, you just can't do that. If the church needs chewing out, I'll do it, right? And I'm not going to do it because I'm not here to chew you out. But what I was saying to him is, I don't need you to do it, right? Made a big deal. Listen, if your kids break something here, can I just go ahead and tell you, it's okay. We're not going to bill you. We're not going to say a word to you. We're just going to fix it. You know why? Because I'm so stinking grateful your kids were here. Amen? I'm so stinking grateful you brought them. And listen here, if they billed my daddy for everything I ever broke at Edwardsville Baptist Church, son, he'd be in a poorhouse a long time ago. Went outside one time, they had these little boxwoods. My Uncle Norman used to grow, great Uncle Norman used to grow boxwoods, almost 78. And so they set out boxwoods all down inside the church. And my grandmother looked at me because she saw me. I was kind of like this little guy right here. She looked at me and said, after church, you better not be jumping the boxwoods. Okay? Because, you know, I mean, I'm Evel Knievel, right? I'm vroom, 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 vroom. Tell them, right, vroom, vroom, right? That's our word, vroom, vroom. So after church, me and my old buddy Wade Skinner was out there. He says, hey, you want to jump some boxwoods? I said, well, grandmother, but see, the good thing about grandmother was she barked a lot louder than she bit. I never told her I knew that. But she said, you better not. You're going to get spanked. I said, oh, shoot. About that time, we was jumping them good. We didn't break a limb. And by the time my grandmother came around the corner, I caught my heels and I landed right in the middle of one, spread the hole, killed it. Just killed it dead. Right there. I mean, killed it. And she looked at me and grabbed me up, and she barked all the way home. It didn't hurt, but I listened to the...
I told you once, I said, you embarrassed me so bad.
It's okay. Listen, if something gets broke here, it's okay. If something gets marked on, we'll paint it back. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we love people, we've been set free to love people, then we don't look around and find everything wrong and everything. We find ways to show the love of God and say, it's okay. It won't matter 5 seconds after I'm dead. Amen? Well, let's move on, okay? Yeah, we got to have rules. We got to have boundaries in everything we do. But the basis of our relationship cannot be based on keeping rules. It must be based on freedom that we enjoy from what we found in Jesus Christ. Here's what John MacArthur said. He said, Christians are free from the law as a means of salvation, from its external ceremonial regulations as a way of living, and from its curse for disobedience to the law, which is a curse that Christ bore for all believers. The freedom, however, listen, is not a license to sin. Romans 6:17 says this, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. Well, there's a second thing. Rules alone lead to rebellion. But notice this with me, if you will. Freedom is not an excuse for folly. The legalists were fearful that Paul's gospel allowed people just to live any way they wanted to. They're saying, he's just wanting them to let you live any way you want to. And they were fearful that major problems would come in this area to people who listened to him. They thought Paul's teaching would cause a revolt against authority. Listen, if you're free and you got a relationship, you don't revolt against the rule maker. Amen? The legalists couldn't get that. Notice what happened. Paul explains that his intent is to teach Christians the truth about biblical freedom. Here's what he says. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Listen, the Greek word for opportunity is very important there. It was often used to refer to a base... to a central base of military operation. Here's what he's teaching us. We don't allow our freedom to become a base of operation to fulfill the sinful desires of the flesh. Now, what is Paul talking about? Talking about the flesh. He's talking about your skin, your hair, no. He's talking about your fallen human nature. We all got it. Many people, even professing Christians today, use their freedom that they found in a relationship with Christ as a license to be able to fulfill their sinful desires of their flesh. They say, I'm saved. What does it matter? Are you really? Are you really? Preacher, you believe in eternal security? Absolutely. You believe once a man or woman, boy or girl gets saved by the grace of God, they're eternally secure in the hand of Jesus till the day of redemption? Absolutely. But I also believe he changes your want-tos. He changes your convictions. He changes what matters to you. He transforms you from the inside out. He doesn't whitewash you. He washes you white. But listen to me. It changes who you are. And if you haven't had a change of thinking, then it's very likely you've not had a change of heart. I step back on that one, man. No, hear me. If your thinking is still thinking, and it was thinking before you came to Christ, and you say, I came to Christ, I still got thinking, then maybe we need to go revisit whether you came to Christ. Because when you come to Christ, He changes you. You say, well, I'll never have another bad thought. Oh, yeah, you will. As a Christian, you'll do stuff like that. You'll have a bad thought. You'll have a bad moment. You'll have a bad day. You might have a bad week, bad month. Listen to me. Hear me. But there's somebody living in you that gives you peace in the midst of all that. It's like the little boy flying the kite. Y'all remember me tell you about him? Little boy was flying a kite out on the playground. It was so high, he couldn't even see the kite. You could just see the string going up. Couldn't even see the kite. Lady comes by and says, what are you doing? She said, I'm flying a kite. She said, I don't know how you know you're flying a kite. There ain't no kite up there. I can't see it. She says, how you know the flight kite's still there? She said, I can still feel the tug. Amen. When I pull the cord, I still feel the tug. I know you may not can see that kite, but I know it's there. Oh, God, help us today. It's not an excuse to do as we please. I want you to know today that this is a total misuse of the grace of God when we do that, and it's certainly not consistent with the life God desires for His children. So what can keep you? You say, preacher, you've told me, okay, I got freedom, but I can't use my freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. How can I keep from doing that? I'm so glad y'all asked that. Thank you for asking that question, whoever did. Okay. And if you didn't ask, I'm going to tell you the answer anyway, because that's what I'm here to do. It's one thing to give people the word, but you got to give them answers on how they can flesh it out. Amen? So what can keep us from misusing our freedom in Christ as a license to do as we please? I'll tell you what. You got to keep a healthy walk with God that is cultivated with the word of God and is seasoned with communication with God. A healthy walk seasoned with the word with healthy communication. That'll do it. See, whenever a child of God ignores the word of God and dismisses time with God, you can be certain that you will be less sensitive to the voice of God. You know how people get desensitized to the voice of God? They quit reading the word. They get quit communing with the Father. And if you quit reading the word and you stop communing with the Father, let me tell you what will happen. You'll get so desensitized to those things, you will not be sensitive to the voice of God when He speaks to your heart. God help us. Child of God, I want you to know, you don't have something, you have somebody living in you. You have somebody living in you who is holy. His name is God the Holy Ghost. He is the third person of the Trinity. Been present since the very beginning. Was it creation? Yes, He's always been. But I want you to know on this day of the church, He has a specific, particular ministry where He indwells the heart of every believer. And hear me, when He speaks to you and calls you back in line and He makes you aware that you're using your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, listen to His voice, hear His voice, obey His commands, never compromise precious time with God, and listen as He speaks, obey His commands, because He's a holy God. But you know what Satan likes to do sometimes? Satan likes to ambush a stoning. He lays those traps, stoning. Happened to me the other night. I was being a good Paul. I was cleaning up the Christmas trash. Don't y'all love to just clean up boxes and wrapping paper and bows and name tags that stick places they ain't supposed to go? I mean, 2 weeks from now, y'all move the couch and sweep, and there'll be a name tag under there, or a stray bow, right? So I'm going out, and I'm being a good father-in-law. I'm not asking my slaves-in-law to go and do anything. I'm just doing it all, Scott. I'm on point, right? And Sam, I tell you, Sam is the biggest kid trapped in a 26-year-old body I've ever seen. He is a kid. So he bought us all for Christmas. Y'all seen the little gel pistols? You like soak the little bullets in water. Riddle, you'd like this. This is right up your alley, Riddle. We were watching some videos on that of kids wrecking on bicycle ramps in the 70s. I said, that's Riddle. But Riddle, you'd like this. You soak them in water, and then you put them in the little hopper up top there, and you can put them fully automatic. It shoots like, and there's like 20 gazillion in there. You can't run it out. And so I'm thinking, well, that's nice. I go out to burn trash, come around one side of the building is Sam, and around the other side of the building is his faithful compadre right here. And they ambush me while I'm working with the little gel guns. And but here's the thing about it. They were like stormtroopers. They shot 87,000 rounds and never hit me one time. Now, that's all I know about Star Wars is stormtroopers are bad shots. But here's the deal. I'm telling you right here, look here, how do you miss this? With an automatic pistol. I'm thinking, man, I'm in great shape. If I ever get a real gun, I am liable. And I watched Dustin one time. He emptied a 9-round clip on a rattlesnake, never hit it one time. Now he brings his rat shots, don't he? He comes to our house, he says, I'm bound to see a snake, and he walks around with his rat shot. But Satan does that too. I'm not saying Sam and Dustin are Satan, but they're not at all. But he does. He waits to a moment when we're least expecting an attack, and he launches an attack, and he attacks us when we're tired. He attacks us when we're exhausted. He attacks us when we're discouraged, and he comes after us, and he says, look here, you know what? You've got liberty. Why don't you just try this? Why don't you just try that? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? You've got liberty. You're going to heaven when you get saved. Just go ahead and do as you please, but that's not the way it goes. Let me move on to a second. Notice that love equips us to serve others. I want to go real quick here. The phrase, by love, serve one another, literally means to be enslaved to one another. Did you know that? Be enslaved to one another. The world today, you know what it's doing? It's pushing self-love. I told you, we live in a very, very narcissistic society. It's the age of the selfie, the usy, and the weeby, and all that kind of stuff. But the root cause of man's problem today is said to be low self-esteem, low self-worth, low self-love. But here's what God does. God demands humility of all who come before him and rejects those who are filled with pride. Did you know that? That's why pride is so dangerous. I want you to pray this for me in the coming year, okay? Because here's what I'm praying for you. I'm going to tell you what I'm praying for you. I want you to pray this for me. Pray that God would help me to, number one, walk with humility and integrity so that I can faithfully love him and lead his people. Okay? Would you do that? You say that I'd walk with humility and integrity and I'd faithfully love him and lead his people. That's what matters to me. That matters so much to me. Yeah, I tell you, if y'all ever wonder how much you matter to me, you matter this much. The call of God, the people of God matter this much to me. Y'all know how much I love that little man just went by here a minute ago? Y'all know how hard it is for me to be away from him. But do you know why I am? Because this is where God wants me. Now you say, oh, Lord, I thought he was going to say he was leaving. No, no, no. No, I ain't going nowhere. I'm not planning to go anywhere. The only way I'd go anywhere is if God called me and said, this is what you got to do. I am here. I am all in on this work, okay? All in. Now, that don't mean I'm not going to be all in on my grandson. I'm going to go see him when I can. If I go missing one day and you can't find me, that's probably where I am, okay? But that's okay, and I'm not going to apologize for that because I only got so many days, I only got so many hours, I only got so many minutes. And I'll tell you, these next generation, listen, they're going to be bombarded with all the hell that hell can muster. And the people of God have got to invest the word of truth in our children and grandchildren. Why? Because if we don't, who will? Would you pray that for me? I'll tell you what I'm praying for you. I'm praying one major thing over our church for 25. And I'll talk a good bit about this next week. I'm just giving you the preview. I'm praying that we would unified body of believers that love God and serve others. And by others, I mean one another. 2024 has been a major challenging year for my family. I know it's been a major challenging year for many families here. But can I tell you, I was able to sit at the table with my family Thursday night and was able to say, ain't God been good? Because no matter what we faced, he taught us to face it by faith. And no matter how bad things may have looked at times, God always provided the grace and showed us how much he had blessed us even in the midst of difficulty. Hasn't God done that for you? Can I tell you, 25 could be a very challenging year for all of us. It could be a very challenging year for you personally and for your family. I don't know what's coming out there, but I do know this, he's already there. That's the peace I have, Marty. He's already there. Where I've been, where I am, and where I'm going, he's already there. He's not afraid. He's not wringing his hands. I was playing with Rob the other day, and he come yesterday, and he just come over to me. And, you know, he's one of those little guys. He just plays, and he just goes until there just ain't 1 ounce, and he just drops, okay? He just goes. And finally, he came over there to me. He looked up at me, handed me his truck, and that was his signal saying, I quit. I'm done. I picked him up in my lap, laid him on my shoulder. He went right to sleep, just like he did a minute ago. And you know what? I said, God, help me. Listen, this little boy, trusts me. This little boy believes in me to keep him safe and secure. People don't go to sleep where they're afraid, right? And I said, God, help me to trust you with a childlike faith so that when the storms of life come around, I'll just come to my Father and say, I give up. Many of us haven't come to that point yet, to where we just say, I give up. And then we realize that what God's love does for us, it enables us to serve. It equips us to serve. It's evidenced by love. I could go on for a long time, but I'm not. Matthew 22, just write it in your notes. You don't have to turn there, but tells us about what happened when Jesus was questioned about love. He taught about the evidence of love comes in the fact that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. He talks about expressing love. Expressions of love can come in so many ways, but I want you to know the greatest expression of love you can do and the greatest form of fellowship you can have with your brothers and sisters is when you bow your knee before a holy God and cry out to them on their behalf. It's really interesting to notice the word love here today is talking about Holy Spirit generated love. It's translated from the Greek word agapeo. Now look here, not agape that you're familiar with in John chapter 21, but agapeo, which literally means a direction of the will in finding one's joy in something. You know what it is saying? That when God expresses his love to us, it is a joyful expression and experience. And for the child of God, when we demonstrate his love to a fallen, hurting world, it should be a joyful and exciting and exhilarating experience because we have shown God's love to people who need to know him. Let me finish up today with this. Notice that selfishness, verse 15, excludes us from serving others. You ever just, when you read the Bible, sometimes it's going along good. You know, love one another. Love, 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 love will keep us together, right? You get your little Captain and Tennille hat out. But then you get a verse like verse 15, you go, wow. Verse 15 says, but. You remember what we've talked about the word but? But's like a hinge. It's like a door hinge. It means everything I've been telling you, the message is fixing to swing because you needed to know what I told you first so you'd be prepared to accept what's coming behind. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Let's talk real quick. Let's talk about the deeds of the flesh. I've often said as a pastor, there's no one on earth more difficult to deal with than selfish Christians. Y'all don't know any of those. It's somebody from some other church, right? I mean, enough. Not you, it wouldn't be you. Wouldn't be me, no. But don't we all have a tendency to get there if we're not led by the Spirit of God? We start spilling the water out of our water cup, looking around at everybody else instead of what God's got us doing. Well, I want you to know when we submit to the authority of Christ, we become selfless instead of selfish. Warren Wiersbe said that when you're selfless, it don't mean you think less of yourself. You just think of yourself less. Amen? You really do. He says that when you become a Christian, you're not sinless, but you ought to sin less. Amen? The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. That's hard to do, isn't it? We look around the world around us and we see so much going on. But regardless of what's going on in the world, we must all go back to what God said in His Word and always follow the Word over the world. Notice the last part, the devastation of the family. As we close 2024, I can't tell you how grateful I am to be a part of this family of faith. I don't think any of you'd be here if you didn't want to be. I really hope you're here because you want to be. And you believe God put you here. And you want to use your gifts and talents for the glory of God. But I want to tell you, one of the most devastating things that occurs today in our churches is when people bite and devour one another, because there's a warning, lest you be consumed by one another. Let's talk about that. Paul warns believers of the result of not loving and serving one another. What is bite and devour? Kind of makes me think Rob's got this little thing. Maybe his mom and daddy got him for Christmas. Y'all seen these little things? What's it called? A Tubi, Ubi? Tony, okay? It's in this little box. So it's like a little speaker, and it's got little ears like Bluey. I can handle Bluey better than I can Blippi. You know what's Blippi? Nobody else here seen Blippi? Oh, my goodness, that dude is it's annoying as all get out. In his little Blippi mobile. I mean, how much do you have to pay somebody to act like that? But anyhow, or Handyman Hal. He said, which one you want, Rent Handyman Hal or Blippi? I said, at least Hal's building stuff. But you take the little speaker box and it's got a magnet thing. My favorite one's Lightning McQueen. Now, that's a real American hero right there. Right? And you put the little thing on his magnet and it starts playing songs. What's it, like 2 hours per magnet or something? But here's what Rob does. He's got a Lightning McQueen. He's got a Woody from Toy Story, another American hero, Buzz Lightyear. And what's the other ones he's got, Caitlin? Come on. Blaze. That's my man. Yeah, that's Hot Wheels Heaven right there. What's that? Paw Patrol. Chase, right? He's pretty cool too, right? But he's got four of them. And instead of putting one up there and listening to it, he puts one, take about 5 seconds. He's got ADHD. I can already tell him. He gets 5 seconds. He says, okay, Chase. And now I hear Lightning McQueen. Wait, Woody. You know, I mean, he's just going and going. Well, here's my point. They have another one, and it's one of my favorite American heroes from the 70s. Y'all gonna love this. They got Cookie Monster. I remember, I like cookies. Some of y'all act like y'all never watched Sesame Street. Our hero was Oscar the Grouch. Get away from my trash can. Now kids, you know, they're like, come here, sweetheart, let me give you a hug. But I can't get away from my trash can. I mean, whole different world. Kids now, you know, like, oh, sweetheart, you fell and bumped your head. Back when we was a kid, they'd take a hose pipe to you for bumping your head. But yeah, now look here. Here's that. I think about old Cookie Monster, you know, he's not going for one cookie, he's going for 100 cookies. And when he's eating, he's not paying attention to what the cookie looks like, what's in it. He's just biting and devouring and just making a mess. And that's what happens when we do this. Paul warns of the danger of living like a self-centered pagan. When we do, we'll be consumed by one another without demonstrating Christ-like love within the body of Christ. Here's what happens. The witness of the church is greatly damaged. The family is greatly devastated. And we begin to consume one another. Get consumed by one another. Consume with one another. So here's where I want to land the plane. In 24, there's nothing we can do about it. In 2 days, counterwise, it'll be completely behind. But what we can do something about is what's ahead of us, right? You ever met anybody? I've led people to faith in Christ in their 60s and 70s and on up in there. I mean, hey, I don't know, but way on up in there. And you know what they'll all tell me? I wasted so much time. How can I get back my wasted years? And the answer is, you can't. But you can do something with the life you have left. I always want to remind you, and I hope you'll write this on your bulletin, this passage. You don't have to write the whole thing, just write this passage. Hope you write it on the tablet of your heart, and I hope it's a theme for us every day of our lives, especially with me. It's John 13, 34 and 35. You know it well, I guarantee you. Jesus said this. I'm just a mailman telling you what Jesus, I'm just delivering the mail. Here's what he said. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's a big order, isn't it? Is that, no, you just say, wait a minute. He's telling us to love each other the way he loves us. To love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And this is the effect. By this, if you've got that open in your Bible, John 13, 35, underline these three words. By this, all will know. You want people to know, don't you? That you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. Church, I want you to hear me. When I stand here at the close of every service and I say, hey, church, before you leave, I want you to know that I love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not making time. I'm not coming up with a catchy phrase. I stood years ago at a service at Northside Church in R. Murchie, Georgia. My good buddy Phil Wade's the pastor there. And I heard Phil not just tell his church that, but I watched them see that in action. And I said, that's it. People need to know that we love them. And there's nothing they can do to stop us. I mean that. I think about y'all all the time. When I'm rising up, laying down, I have the people of God on my heart. Why? Because I've been called to liberty, but I've been commissioned to love. May the world know by our deeds in the past that we love God and love one another, and may the world see in the future how much we really mean it. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, how I want to thank you for your word. Oh, how I want to thank you for your love. And I want to thank you for liberty today. Lord, we live in a country that was founded because bondage was no longer acceptable. And that freedom was the only option. Freedom did not come for this country without a fight. Freedom did not come by simply writing a piece of paper. Freedom did not come for the Christian without a fight, without a cross, a Calvary. A war went on. Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Oh God, may your church today realize what it took to purchase freedom for us. And Father, may we embrace that liberty with holy reverence. May we not use our liberty as an occasion or opportunity for the flesh. May we not use it as some sort of way for us to think we can do as we please, but as you please. God, transform us individually and corporately from the inside out. And oh God, help us to remember we've been commissioned to serve, commissioned to love. God, raise up another mighty army of servants who love you and are unashamed to let the world know and let the world see, and that will love one another regardless of the cost. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand with me all across the house if you would. Here's the invitation today. If you've never experienced the liberty, the freedom of being set free from your bondage of sin, debt, today I invite you to come. I'd love to tell you about him. I'd love to pray with you. Love to see you leave here a new creation in Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God, you've got a couple of questions to answer between you and the Holy Spirit. Am I being sure that my freedom is being used and not misused? Am I being faithful to the call of God? Am I making sure that I don't allow an opportunity for the flesh because I am free? If you're here today, you're a child of God, and you say, hey, I feel God will only be me and my family be a part of this local fellowship, we invite you to make that public as well. But whatever God leads you to do, from the balcony to the floor here, you come. Even now, as Marty leads us, come to Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning.
First verse again together. May this be your prayer and direction for 25, that you've decided and nothing's going to change you. Let's go, Marty. Thank the Lord for the word today. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Ushers are coming right now to receive our final tithes and offerings for 2024. I pray you'll be faithful. Make sure that I know by Tuesday, I guess Tuesday's the 31st, all our year-end giving will wrap up that day. So you can always use our online apps if you need that. But I encourage you to be faithful to giving to God. I want to tell you how grateful I am for the faithfulness of the past several years and seeing God continue to grow and move in this community. But I've got to be honest with you, the challenges ahead will be much larger. You say, well, I thought them big hills was behind us. A guy who runs hills one time told me, you run the little hills to prepare you for the big ones. And I believe there's a lot of big ones ahead, but I'm not afraid of that because I believe he's already there, aren't you? So let's join our hearts together and let's ask the Lord to bless our giving today.
baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, well, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. Your baby boy, Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
y'all. Thank you. If you were able to attend the Christmas Eve service, they did that as well, and it was great. Thank y'all for doing it again. Appreciate it so much. You have to wonder what all was going through people's mind that first Christmas. And we really, this side of heaven, probably never know even the beginning, but we know this. We know that God came down to man so that man could go to be with God. Amen. Amen. Church, don't forget this week, as I've said, Tuesday nights, New Year's Eve game night at 6, and fellowship, no service Wednesday for New Year's Day. Next Sunday, we're back, of course, regular schedule that day, and then the next Wednesday back to normal midweek. But do remember this, as we go into this new year, I want you to know there's no better place to celebrate Christmas than in the heart of Dixie, this side of heaven. It's a blessing to be in Alabama for Christmas, but I want you to know it's exciting to go into the next year knowing this, that the same God who brought us safe thus far will safely lead us home. Amen. And never forget how much I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Stand with me if you would, all across.